Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned into KVNF's live gardening call-in show. I'm your host, Jill, and I'm here with my favorite worms, of course, Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening out there.
What a beautiful day, huh?
It doesn't get
any better than this.
Yeah. It does not.
It really doesn't.
Boy, just lay on your back and look at the sky a little bit.
I know, right?
And the crescent moon's been incredible.
Just
hanging there. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Great time of the year. We're going to give you the phone numbers because we'd love to hear what's going on in your garden and what's been good this year. What's been good, what's been maybe not so good, but 527-4868-1866-KVNF-NOW.
Yep, don't be scared. And call and tell us what's thriving in your garden because we've all been noticing this is really an odd year.
It's a thriving year, for sure.
Yeah, some stuff, it's the same old story, really, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some stuff is just off the charts, and other things are like, what? Where are you? What's going on? What's up?
What's up?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a grape sample in here again. Last week we had the Reliance grapes.
Yeah.
And those were good, but you said they were not quite ready.
They need one more week, so we have those.
So here they are, a week later.
And I'll report they're still very good and a lot sweeter.
Yeah, and they're stellar. We're eating them.
And the Candace is the other one.
The Candace, a little bit smaller, same color.
Yeah,
same color. Mm-hmm. It's a prettier cluster.
It is pretty.
And what's unusual, you're saying unusual there, is they're both ripening at the same time.
Oh, that's what usually
happens. Usually it's the Reliance and then the Candace.
Oh, my God. That's the same thing. Okay, so I have the big Concords, right?
Uh-huh.
First of all, these Concords are, I've never had them this big. They're huge.
Uh-huh.
And they're ready. They're 4 days away from picking. If it stays cold at night. And
right.
I think that's what's bringing it on.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. Cool nights. They've been great.
Yeah.
So you've got all kinds of grapes ready to pick, huh?
Yeah, I've got the big Concords and the Reliance. And then the Reliance wannabes that are out on the Rio Grande side. There's so much shade over there. They do whatever they want.
Yeah, they'll be ready eventually.
Yeah, eventually. And the birds like to come in and get them. One time a whole flock of cedar waxwings came.
And
just cleared it out?
Yeah.
Oh, how fun is that?
It was big fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lance, the yield on these grapes was very different as far as what you were able to harvest.
The Candace, I had one vine and I picked 52 pounds of grapes off of it.
Woo, Lordy.
And they are so cute. Okay, just on the cute factor alone you should have them.
Yeah.
Because they're a little
smaller.
Pounds
of very cute grapes.
Yeah, they're a little bit smaller, more petite. They look like a little champagne grape.
They do, absolutely.
And then that was just one vine, and then I picked three Reliances, and I maybe got 15.
Wow, 15 to 52.
Yeah. I have two more Candaces to pick.
Whoa. That's a lot of grapes there.
Yeah.
That's a lot of raisins. You're going to make raisins, right?
Yeah. Well, jam will be coming from Gunnison. She might be at the house right now. So she makes wine. Wine? These are raisins.
These are raisins. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They kind of have that tartness to them that's going to be a good raisin.
And they don't have any seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, delicious. Boy, so that's the grape report.
Mm-hmm.
Good going on the grapes. Grapes went
Five, two, seven, four, eight, six, eight.
Yeah, and next week I'll bring in the snap peas.
Oh, we love that.
Yeah, they're already about an inch or so long.
Really?
Yeah, and blooming away.
Yeah, are mine snap or the sugar? What are mine?
I think you're doing snow peas.
I'm doing the snow peas. That's what
that's
I mean.
Right.
I knew it started with an S.
You're being overtaken in your garden. Everything's coming on.
It's scary. Has anybody else? No, you guys haven't been over lately. It's scary. If I turn up missing, just kind of look under the tomatoes.
Right.
You'll just find my little body all under there, shriveled up. You know?
Last year it was the squash, and this year the tomatoes.
Yeah, no, the squash is bad too. The squash is so naughty. Oh my God, it's huge.
It's huge, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What about your squash though?
Not
so naughty.
It's okay. I have enough, but not. I should have twice as much.
Really?
And I think it's, again, I planted it in cooler soil.
Okay.
And it was in between the hedge grove and the fruit trees going north-south. So it actually didn't get very much full sun.
Oh, there you have it.
You know, the hedge grove is 8 to 10 feet tall, and the fruit trees are 15 feet tall. So there's just this short period of time. So there's – and the root competition for water and nutrients. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, remember my squash, how it was starting out?
Mm-hmm.
It just – the whole thing, they got wiped out, what, twice?
Right.
Everything, you know, was just mowed down. And so I pretty you much gave up. Yeah, and then I couldn't write it off because it's not my style. So I went back in and planted again. And
this time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if there's a King Kong zucchini contest, I win. I've got one out there that's stupid. I mean, I've been growing zucchini for a long time, and this one's taken the cake.
All right. We might have to bring that in, Lulu, and we might have to have one of those guessing contests.
Yeah, right. That was so fun last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
527-486-8166, KVNF now. And you brought some pears in. I mean, we've got some great stuff here. Some pears that – these two pears are from the same tree.
Yes. And brought them in, and I said, okay, what is it? Because this is the tree that habitually has these hard skin develops on the pears. And that one is tinier, and it's, you know, really super brown, and the other one is a little bigger, and it's not all the way covered in the, Lance said it's...
Russet.
Rust. Russet, right. So a hawthorn.
Cedar.
Cedar. Rust. And then we looked it up online, and sure enough, apple trees also contribute, and it's got to be little mama.
Yeah, and apple trees, and it'll go back and forth. And I've seen it, I mentioned the eastern red cedar because it comes from the east, but it's traveled out this way. But the Rocky Mountain junipers will have the spores also.
Wow. So it'll travel back and forth from an apple.
It goes from host to host. It goes 1 year over here, another year it goes to the apple, 1 year the pear the next, but it's all over the apple tree too.
Yeah,
I think that's
little
because remember I kept saying it's not like fire blight; it's different.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and there's so much of it. It's I think that's what it is. I'm gonna have to look up how you get rid of it.
Yeah,
yeah, interesting. Because
I've never had two very different pears. Very different. We got all kinds of fun stuff.
We do have fun stuff. I want to talk about that green thing that came out of your yard. That's one of the greatest pieces of fruit I've ever
seen.
It's not edible. No.
But it's great because nobody's ever seen something like that. Well, Lulu knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, you all are just right down with it. It is a...
Osage orange.
Osage orange. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. It's kind of the size of an apple, kind of looks like a green apple color-wise.
A green warty apple.
Warty, yeah, and just sort of a psychedelic texture of, looks woven or something.
Right, and it's got like these little, it looks like a thousand little worms. And then it even looks like it's got little hairs hanging out of some of it.
It did have hairs.
Yeah, it's scary looking. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, very unique. So you have these trees in your yard.
Oh, outside the yard.
Oh, so are those natural on your property?
No, I planted them, and they really need a little bit more water. And this one, this particular one, is next to the hedge grove, and I'm watering the hedge grove.
Gotcha.
So it's getting the other two; they get some spring runoff, and that's it.
Yeah.
And why?
This is the first bloom you've had, right?
First bloom, but what it's known for is it's really good lumberwood.
Yeah.
Timberwood. Yeah. You make bowls, furniture. That is that the Native Americans made a bows out of it. It also, the bark makes a great dye, color of dye, things like that. But you don't want to use it in your fireplace.
Yeah. Jeff in the studio there in the control room was saying he's got experience with being in campfires. Kind of smoky and oily.
Oh, and this is... where it grows, it also, like we use cedar or Rocky Mountain junipers for fence posts, it makes a great fence post will last 30 to 40 years.
Oh, my goodness.
As a fence post.
There you go.
Amazing.
Now you know why.
Yeah.
That is the Osage orange.
Yeah. So I bet you if you had irrigated land or even the river bottom land here, you could grow that, and it'd be a great tree.
Oh, that'd 40 be some to good 50 wood feet product.
Tall. Yeah.
Yeah, 40 to 50 feet tall.
That's
wow.
beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, Jane is on the line with a comment. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Yeah. I just have a comment on the rust between the junipers and the apple.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice.
Here.
Yeah.
And it just, I seem to remember years ago reading that you don't plant apples or pears or things like that near juniper, but in the feet allowance was about 20 feet. So the way to get rid of the rust is to cut any juniper that's close in.
Okay.
And I'm not too sure of the amount of feet you have to go. But
well, we'll look it up.
Yeah, we'll yeah. find out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just thinking roughly, and I don't think there are any junipers in the neighborhood
really?
Right there. Yeah.
Well, it might be the landscape junipers.
Oh, you will know. Now there's an idea.
Yeah, the landscape.
Yeah.
It might be
Fitzger
on those.
Juniper. Yeah,
yeah the Fitzers or Tams.
Yeah,
those kind.
Yeah.
Oh, if you live outside Paoni like I do, there's junipers everywhere. And
right,
you have to cut
right,
them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, that's all.
Great.
Why, thanks,
thank
Jane.
You, Jane.
That's
Bye.
Awesome.
That
yep.
makes sense with everything you guys have been talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. something else get that. There's another plant tree. I can't remember what it is that gets. Oh, maybe it's the hollyhocks. Transfer rust back and forth between the junipers. And
I'm not sure
else.
On that one.
I'm not either. But the other suspect that we have is the apple tree little mama. I think mm-hmm. I think that's what's
however
infected
that
her.
Happened. Yeah.
Yeah, the first place that I saw this cedar rust was outside of Bone Mesa, and she had eastern red cedars.
Oh.
And
oh.
she had pears and she had apples. And you could see the right. growth, and they were deltas. And when it rained, they just sort of swelled up on the sticks, and they would kill anything from that gall, shall we say, out to the tip. Everything was killed, especially on the cedars. Not so much on the it just made rust on the fruit.
See, I think it's the apple. Yeah. I think that's exactly what's happening on Little Mama. Mm-hmm. I think she's got those gally things. I mean, they're like little swelling spots under the bark. Some of them aren't that little either.
Mm-hmm.
And the branches are dying off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm going to have to meditate on that.
Yeah. Sounds like it makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds. I've been suspecting that she might be.
We've been talking about her a few years now.
Yeah. Her time.
It's cosmetic on the fruit trees. It doesn't really kill them.
Yeah, it doesn't kill. It doesn't kill them, but it is cosmetic. And, you know, here you got this beautiful, I mean, this tree has this great shape. And,
right.
You know, it's very poetic, and it's in a perfect place, and it's got all these dead parts, you know, dead. It looks, it should be fire blight, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's that's what's going on.
Two very troubling things there, fire blight and then the rust.
Yeah,
you know?
Whatever.
Yep. Little mama.
Yeah, you deal with it, you know.
You deal.
And, you know, it's not on both pear trees.
Just one.
Just the one. And so I think the pear trees are, one is a Bartlett and one is a Danjou, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a pear, Danjou? Danjou.
Yeah.
Love that word.
I do, too. It's so French.
That's
Danjou.
Danjou. and, yeah, I think that's what it is. Anyway, okay. Call us. Save us from ourselves.
Do. 527-4868. 1-866-KVNF.
Now.
What's going to seed, Lance? We're getting to that time where we're really thinking about that.
Oh, seed? Well,
what's the seed report?
The seed report. Well, the onions are cut and drying. The beets are cut and drying. The carrots, I'm almost done with carrots. The celery, or no, the lettuce is still standing, and I haven't watered that for well over a month. Lettuce produces better seed production when it's dry, and I learned that the hard way.
So you've cut that, not watering that.
I haven't
for some
watered
time.
It for a month, and it's the best it's ever done.
You know, my chicory plant, the one that I loved so much, it was in the garden. It didn't get watered at all for the whole entire. Up until I planted that garden, which was, mid-June?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No water on it whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it was thriving. It had that
That's
beautiful
great.
Cornflower blue flowers everywhere.
Uh-huh. And then when I was old, I mentioned that the flowers of the fennel. Mm-hmm. And that's a type of fennel that I'm growing for the seed crop. I want to eat that seed.
What are you growing?
It's not Finocchio. And it's not bronze fennel. It's a type of fennel. I don't know the actual name of it.
Yeah, because my bronze fennel is all over itself.
Yeah, but that and then the cilantro and what else? Garlic chives, the buckwheat, and the autumn sedum we mentioned last week.
Oh, yeah.
Got the insects.
Beautiful autumn sedum.
And it's funny, the fennel, my fennel that's blooming right now, there's no bees on it. It's all wasps. The bees are on the buckwheat and the sedum.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. That's the same. I got that going on too. I've got the bees all over the mint. The mint is still flowering.
Uh-huh.
And everywhere else it's wasps. And the wasps, okay, here's the latest wasp report. They abandoned their nest again.
Again.
Mm-hmm. This is the second time?
Yeah. You go and you look at it at night and there's nobody home. Nobody's there.
Wow.
Where'd they go? And then you go back, and then today I was walking past, and somebody came flying in, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. What the heck? You at the casino all night or
right.
what? You know?
The beachfront property.
Yeah, where'd you go? What's up? I think that's so cool.
I do, too. They are so darn smart, those wasps.
Yeah, just staying alive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's where they were, down on the...
They were at the disco.
Disco. That's where they went.
Yeah.
And they make nests in all sorts of places.
You
know those old metal steel sinks?
Well,
I have one that's right by my shed, and I use the cabinets and the drawers and stuff, and there's little holes in the bottom of the drawers.
Uh-oh.
And that's where they climb up in there.
Sure. Attracted right in there.
And
they love it, and they know, they don't get bothered by me moving it.
Mm-hmm. No. No, my wasps are totally calm around me as well. You know, I can put my face right in there and look at them and stuff, and they don't mind.
No.
I'm like, look at this beautiful place you've given us to live all summer.
And they pick, like you're saying, the most impossible places. I had some living in the bells that are on the gate, on one of my gates, south-facing gate. And they're sleigh bells, right? So they're round and they're all rusty and, very, aesthetic, supposedly. They don't ring or anything. But, I mean, it had to be 140 degrees inside that bell.
Yeah.
And they were put
and
they put a nest in there. Yeah. They loved it.
Hot stuff.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah.
Get it? They're so hot.
They're cool. What about that hot pesto you brought in here last week? You got more pesto going.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about what we're doing with food.
Yeah.
Arugula pesto.
Yeah, this is the regular straight arugula, the big leafed arugula. What I brought in last week was the Silvette, which is it's daintier. It's featherier, and it's... it's got a reputation for being super hot and spicy, but the arugula this year is off. Man, it's really hot.
Oh.
The big leaf one. Ooh, I'm gonna love eating that in the winter. It's gonna be so fun.
Yeah, that's a nice treat.
Yeah.
And how did you get it to be this at this point? Did you plant it at a certain time?
It was one of the last. Oh my gosh, the first crop of lettuce or salad greens had come and gone, and I was planting the next crop of salad greens and a few other random things, and I planted the arugula after that. So really late.
And
I planted
it.
I planted that dwarf blue kale and the arugula after I planted the second round of cutting greens. So, and I have a spot, I have some of it, it has been is not going to get cut down for pesto. It's going to make seeds.
All right.
Yeah, because I only have about a quart of seeds left, so I start to panic,
Right.
Yeah, you got to keep track of it.
Might get down to 24 jars.
Yeah, I might only have 20 teaspoons or something, and I'll be all freaked out.
Hey, what should we be doing with watering and also, well, we'll go with watering first. How about that?
I'm cutting back on, especially...
Pretty much everything?
No, the potatoes are not going to be watered anymore. The dry beans are harvested. I'm watering the squash probably for the last time. I watered the pintos, or in the process of watering the pintos for their last time, this late planted pintos. And corn's done watering, but I'm still going to water all my carrots, all the cabbage, the fall greens, all those greens, mm-hmm. the peas, celery, those kind of things, raspberries, they'll still be watered. But I'm just sort of cutting back. Like, I haven't watered my fruit tree orchard. I usually water mm-hmm. those twice a week. I haven't watered it in 2 weeks because of the rain.
Because of the rain.
Right.
It hit it just right.
Yeah.
And I want those peaches to ripen.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm actually letting it do, is just dry them out to ripen. And I, thinking of a crazy year, I still have apricots on the trees.
Wow.
Wow.
And they're not ripe yet.
Really?
So the lower ones. I've been, like I said, I've been throwing them in the bucket and taking them down to the canyon. But I still have some.
For the turkeys.
For the turkeys and the squirrels.
That's good, you know. Pull them off your garden. Give them their own stash down there.
Right.
They're all happy.
And if your grapes aren't ripening, stop watering them.
Stop watering.
Yeah,
that's
I stopped
trick.
Watering mine.
Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. Several weeks ago.
Yeah, and then the, that's the other thing. If your tomatoes, you stop watering tomatoes if you want. And
they get watered because they're under that one spot where everything else is.
And they're crazy for you this year.
Oh, my God. It's like it's scary. It's scary. Once again, it's scary. Like I said, if I go missing, just come into the...
the tomato patch.
The jungle back there.
Right.
Yeah, and I have these morning glories, right, because I really have this soft spot in my heart for morning glories. And
Aww. Oh
my God, they're everywhere and they are so beautiful. And they're in the tomatoes. They're everywhere. They're,
nice.
Yeah.
So it's gorgeous.
Really, yeah, it mm-hmm. is. You know, how mm-hmm. do you get upset about it? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. I just love that rampant life growth.
Right. Just
everywhere.
Going for it.
I just love it.
And sometimes you just turn around and you're like, how did that bush get that
big?
That's
what happened last night. Yeah. That's what happened yesterday.
Well, right. My nasturtiums did that.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, you're
in the squash patch, no. But I thought, well, I'll plant them in between the melons and the cucumbers.
Yeah.
Well, it's practically all nasturtiums. And the center of the plant, or vines, is about 18 inches high. And the leaves are about 6 inches across. And they're solid. And they're just
so
running.
Jealous.
You know, they're 6 feet. They've taken over the whole place. So I have to go digging for the cucumbers and the melons. I'm just going to stop watering the melons so that they can ripe too.
Okay, there you go. So cut back on a lot of water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let's just start. Yeah. Well, a lot of the ditches are going to get turned off if you're using
in the next 3 weeks.
In the
mm-hmm.
next, yeah. They'll start shutting them down, which is a good idea because if you notice the rivers, like, you could practically walk across it and not get your feet wet, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so, the ditch is still running good.
Yeah,
some good water this year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What are you doing with those tomatoes? You're freezing and drying? Is that your...
Yeah, that's my usual scene. So the San Marzanos, the paste tomato, that's incredible. And it's just coming off all over the place. And I pick them and then I set them out on the table in the kitchen and I watch for them to get more uniformly ripe, and I'll take as many as I can fit in a freezer baggie and throw them in the freezer. And
you don't cut them up; you just freeze them whole.
I just freeze them whole.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the only way to go. And I can freeze the sungolds that way too, but you know, there's not a whole lot of point to it, so I just dry those.
Those are yummy.
And yummy, you can dry. Do anything with them. And mm-hmm. usually, I make that sungold and Genovese basil pesto,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have any basil. I'm out of basil. I mean, it all bolted. I couldn't stop it any longer. I couldn't hold it back any longer.
Well, you got your hands full, huh?
Yeah, so that's that, and that's what's happening with those.
Right. Call me. I got plenty of basil.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh,
there you go. The light in your eye just went off.
Ooh, yeah. Game on.
There you go.
Yep.
Hey, we've got time for another call, 527-486-81866, KVNF Now. I see on your list is compost, and we haven't talked about compost for a couple weeks. So what's the schedule?
I'm going to make two more piles, the big piles that I make, and then after that, everything's just going to be put in that huge pile that I layer for the winter.
Right.
And stuff. I generally don't like to make piles later than October because they just get sopping wet, and you really can't use them. You can, and even these late piles I'm going to use, I'm not going to shred them because they'll never get dry with the fall weather. Uh-huh. But this is what I put on my perennial flower beds.
Oh, nice.
This fall.
Uh-huh.
I don't shred them. I just put them out there. And
let it break down?
Yeah, it'll just all be taken out. So, and anything organic, mm-hmm. absolutely anything.
Yep, that's what I do too.
Yeah, don't waste anything.
Yeah, no, my pile's doing really nicely. It's wet. It's wet and it's dark. But it had heat the other day. Mm-hmm. I put in a little compost, some of Ray's compost. I put that in and I layered in a little manure and everything. Uh-huh. And boy, it fired right up.
Yeah.
So it'll
still
just
working
it. Yeah, it'll just do its thing. And the chickens get in there and they scratch and poop and add to the nitrogen. And it's great. You know, just let it go until spring.
Yeah.
And then maybe turn over the chicken yard. I have a lot of hay in the chicken yard.
Uh-huh.
So I should probably turn that over. I'd like to seed that again. If I end up with enough time this fall, I'd like to turn it over, put in worm castings, which will have worm eggs, and then put another big layer on top of just hay. And then it'll go to town in the spring. Boy, that moisture from the snow, because we're going to have a big snow year, I've decided.
Yeah, you feeling it?
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
I am too.
I'm so excited to go skiing. I can hardly stand myself. I got my, you know, the new gear. Oh, yeah. There's some really nice hot
some fun stuff.
Yeah.
Thinking today when I was looking at the sky and the clouds were moving really fast, I thought, I feel like I just got done shoveling snow. It's coming on. I can feel it.
Any minute now.
Lance, you have on here about weeds. And what do we do about weeds this time of
weeds,
year?
Weeds, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything that's got a seed head, pull it.
Pull it.
Get it out of there.
And there, most of the stuff I'm pulling out is green. And I have hot compost piles. So I'm putting it in the compost.
It's just going to get
Lulu, she has all those chickens. They'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm. They take care of it too,
Nice.
You know, so
like
that's
what
I'm doing with it. But and if there's any perennial weeds, there's some beds that got some grass that the reason why I hadn't finished digging them and getting the grass out was there was bulbs blooming.
That's the thing, right?
So I had to wait till the bulbs were finished. These were lilies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so I had to wait. So I just waited till they were finished. But just one thing, thinking of bulbs, I was digging one of those bulbs up, and here was a big cluster of daffodils.
Oh, nice.
And they're already growing.
Really?
They had moisture, and the roots were going down. So that's a good sign that if you want them to have really good blooms, go ahead and water them.
Yeah.
Okay. Water your
Where you know where those spring flowering bulbs are. If you know where they are, go ahead and water them.
Go ahead and water them. The grape hyacinth seeds itself like crazy. That's such a keeper.
Mm-hmm.
It's seeded itself everywhere. Yeah, and it's all up.
Yeah, it's up already.
It's all doing everything.
They come up in the fall like this with the rain and the shorter day lengths.
Mm-hmm.
And then they
interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they all they're doing is they're probably making more bulbs and putting more energy into the bulbs that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll just have that. They're so prolific. How can you not like that?
I know. It's awesome.
I know. Just cover everything with flowers.
That would be a wonderful world, huh?
And it'll be fine.
All will be good.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to mention the Redlands Mesa farm tour this weekend, right?
Yeah.
This Saturday. And we've been talking about this. You're part of this farm tour. It's got 5 farms and gardens, 3 artist studios, farm-to-table lunch, farmer's market demonstrations, and a happy hour with live music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a busy day.
So you're just going to have people coming through, checking out your garden.
Yeah, from probably, I suspect, 9, 10 o'clock till 4.
All right.
And that's on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a great chance to get up there and see Lance's garden. And we've also got the Highwire Ranch, Peace and Plenty Farm, Jeannie McNair Pottery, Hakuna Matata Sarip Alpacas.
I love those Hakuna Matatas.
Jack Rabbit Hill Winery, Doug Fritz Blacksmith, and Colwell Cedars Retreat. And then, of course, our favorite worm, Lance Swegert's Garden.
Yeah. And yeah, you have to start at the Grange.
Start at the Grange. You can pick up a map there at the Grange. It's 27953 Redlands Mesa Road. Mm-hmm. And go, if you're computer savvy, www.redlandsmesagrange.weebly.com. It's $5 for the tour.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you might as well go.
What a great way to spend the day.
Yeah. If I'm not panicked, I'm going to go for a little while.
Yeah, and the chili they're cooking is all from the ranches up there. And I ground up cornmeal for the cornbread.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Really nice. Mm-hmm. Great way to just see what's happening up there. There's a lot going on that mesa.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
There's a lot going on everywhere.
There is. Always something happening.
The food thing is just crazy.
Just crazy. And speaking of crazy, we're going to have that fabulous soil scientist back next week, Ron Godin from the CSU Extension Office. So he will be here talking about winter prep for soil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Soil fertility. So what you can do here in the fall.
Yeah. Right.
Store up your questions and give him a call.
Yeah.
And I'll be gone to the dogs.
You're going to the dog trials.
Mm-hmm. I got to go over and help put on the dog trials.
Just going to the dogs.
So I'm going to the dogs.
She'll be back, though. No frets. And that is going to wind up another show. And we've got DJ Lou in the house for One Woman's Perspective. But Lulu, Lance, thanks so much for sharing your advice and what's going on in your garden.
And thank you all for listening. Yes. And
it went fast.
It did go fast.
We had fun.
Yeah.
We're having a blast. We hope you are too.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Bye-bye.
Good night.